Good morning. I don't know if you can tell from me not bringing the stool up here, but I feel so much better. But for those of you who have gone before me in some sickness, you know that 90% is so much better. It ain't 100, but I'll take it after what we've been through. My wife was like, I get to go to church today, because she had to miss so much with either our girls being sick or her being sick or whatever was going on. So we are glad to be here, just to be together, and I'm glad that we had this opportunity. Started a new class quarter, and I hope that you've been able to be there for that with the rotation that's going to be happening. It puts me in the high school classroom, which I haven't taught a high school class in some years now, and I'm still scared of them. No, I'm just kidding. It was a blast. It was very enjoyable to get to know them more. I'm looking forward to the next few weeks with them. If I can get a few words in, that'd be great, but that is no problem. I definitely enjoyed it. We're continuing in our series of the way, and I'm going to start off with a story from Billy Graham. Billy Graham told a story that one time he went to go speak out west, is all he says. He went to go speak out west, and whenever he got to the town there, he wanted to mail a letter, because Billy Graham did stuff like that. And so he wanted to mail a letter. So he leaves his hotel room to go and mail a letter, but he doesn't know where the post office is. And so as he leaves his hotel, he sees a little boy that's there on the street, and he asks him for directions. This little boy gives him fantastic instructions. He gives him directions of exactly where the post office is. And Graham thanked the boy, and he said, "Do you know who I am?" The boy's like, has no clue. And he said, "Well, my name is Billy Graham, and I am going to be preaching this Sunday at one of the churches downtown." And he said, "You know, tell you what, if you come Sunday, I'll tell you how to get to heaven." To which the boy politely declined. And then he said this, "How can I trust you to know the way to heaven when you don't know the way to the post office?" He's got a point, doesn't he? I mean, if I'm going to get directions from anybody, I want someone who actually knows the way to some place. This is why we are so keen on having right and good directions. Otherwise, it's like the saying, the blind leading the blind. It just doesn't work. We don't want that. Now, I've mentioned before in this series that I absolutely love GPS devices because I don't have to feel lost. The beauty of a GPS device, I even have one on my phone. I can pull up my phone and ask, I have Siri, I can even ask it where I am or how to get to a certain direction, a certain place. But I plug in my final destination, and it recognizes where I'm at, and it gives me a path to get there. Sometimes it actually will give you several different paths. Do you want the walking directions, the driving directions? Do you want to go interstate? Do you want to go scenic route? And you got all these options, and it's absolutely fantastic because I don't have to rely upon my own sense of direction or my own sense of knowing exactly where things are. But as much as I love these devices, have you ever run into the limits of them? Have you ever been following the directions as clearly as they were, whether it's in some Garmin that you put in your car or whether it's through your phone, and you're following this and you're looking around going, "I am nowhere where I'm pretty sure I'm supposed to be." Or sometimes whenever I'm going down the road that I know I'm supposed to be and I look at my GPS device and it shows me out in the middle of a field. Has it ever done that to you? Now, part of the reason is not that the positioning is wrong, it's that the software is wrong. It doesn't have the updated maps. It doesn't have all of the newest detours. And so it may not take me exactly where I need to be, and it's no limit of its own, but it's a limit of some of the technology that we're just not perfect yet. Now, this is why I believe that if I really have to go somewhere, if I really want to make sure that I get to some place on time, I don't want to rely upon some GPS that may take me somewhere, a weird route, and I also don't want to rely upon someone who has never been there. What you want whenever you need to get to a place is someone who has been there and back again and knows the way. Those are the best directions to follow. Someone who could tell you all of the different signs that you're going to see along the way, all the different things, all the hiccups, all the road noise that you're going to encounter, everything, because they know the path so good. Last week we looked at in John 14, Jesus talks about this final destination for those who follow him. And he couches it in some terms of heaven, but really what he couches it more so is an explanation of the Father, saying that our job, we have lost the way because we have lost the relationship with God. We have, ever since we sinned, we have been separated from God, and we're in this desperate journey to get back to God. And in John 14, that's what Jesus is saying, is that I have been with the Father, I know the way, and that's the whole point. You know where I'm going, so you know the way. Thomas speaks up at this point and saying, all right, Jesus, you may know what you're talking about, but how can we know the way? If we've never been to the Father, how can we know the way? And it's at this point Jesus, I think, looks at Thomas and says, you know what, Thomas? I am one of the ways. I am one of the truths to one path to follow, to one life. You know, if you're basically a good person, Thomas, and you're okay in my book, if you're just a good person, you know, if you choose to get to the Father through me, that would be fantastic. That'd be even really cool. But really, all roads are going to lead to God. So you choose whatever road you want, and as long as you're good with it, I'm cool as well. Okay, we know that that's not what Jesus said, but that is sure what the world wishes Jesus said. Our world wishes that every road that we're on, it goes to God. That is how our world works. In fact, every one of us wants to think that we're on the right road that will lead to something good. That is how we are wired to think, is that we want to believe that where I am heading, the road that I'm going on, is a good road with a good destination. This is the reason people stay on the roads that they're on. And we have the conversation then in our culture, in our society, of saying, well, don't all roads lead to heaven or at least a good place? Then why should it matter? Well, it matters because what Jesus said. What Jesus said to Thomas's question was this: I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is extremely exclusive, and we need to recognize this. In a world that wants us to be tolerant of all roads and tolerant of all systems, of saying, you know what, don't be judging someone else's road, Jesus is saying, it's not a road. They're off in the bushes, because there's only one way. There's only one path to the Father. All humanity has messed up. We have all jumped ship, and we have gotten away from God because we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's coming from Romans. We've all sinned, we've all messed up, and we are trying desperately to get back to God, or to get back to that right relationship, even if we don't know exactly what that looks like. That is the plot of humanity. And Jesus says the only way to get there. And a lot of our society wants to say, oh, you can't be that exclusive. But let's just break this down into how we look at directions. If I want to really get to someplace, I want to talk to someone. I want someone who has been there and back again to give me some directions. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing and exactly what he's saying. He's saying, I am going to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back whenever it's ready. And I have been with the Father. I know who the Father is. In fact, the Father and I, we're one. Who better to tell the way back to the Father than the one who has been with the Father? In fact, that's how the conversation continues. Later on in verse 9, it says, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Just believe I am in the Father and the Father's in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. Jesus is here is backing up his statement that he's the way to the Father. He's backing it up because he says, we're in unity. The Father and I, he's in me, I'm in him. If you want the way to him, you got to look at me. And Jesus, whenever he says, I'm the way, the truth, the life, he's not just saying, here's a good direction to follow. Here's the path that I blaze, just follow my path. There's something much deeper going on here. And because he says, not only do I know the way, but he says, I am the way. Jesus is the way. And as exclusive as that might sound, it's actually better than any other option that this world could ever offer. Because it's not just points on a map with signs pointing in this direction and that direction. There's something much better going on in a relationship. The early church picked up on what Jesus was saying whenever he said that I'm the way, the truth, the life. So much so that in the book of Acts, multiple times, the church is referred to people or followers of the way. I love that description. Not just followers of some way, followers of a path to enlightenment. No, it's followers of the way. And I just love how it's put. It's because they're saying that others were saying about the church that they are so single-minded and understanding here that the path that they're on is the only path that leads to life. That's what others were even saying about the church. So how does this work then? How does Jesus being the way work? Is it something as simple as, well, we do what Jesus did and we follow in his footsteps? Well, that's part of it. But actually, I think there's something much deeper going on here. To explain that, I want to talk a little bit about how GPS works. Had to do some research on this because usually how GPS works for me is I turn on my phone, I go to the maps, and I look for my little blue dot. That's how GPS works. Well, there's a little bit more science involved in it, as you can imagine. In 1978, the first GPS satellite was launched into orbit around the Earth. It is around 12,000 miles above us. They last about 10 years, so they have to keep on putting them up in orbit. And there's a lot of specific parameters of exactly what needs to go on. But to date, there's about 31 different satellites that are orbiting that are part of the GPS system. Now, what that means is every satellite is up there, and it's broadcasting a signal back to this Earth. And that signal is able to be picked up by a device. But what you need is you need at least 3 satellites to triangulate your position, and that will get you within about 50 feet. Now, those of you who know GPS now know that we can go much closer than that, than just 50 feet. The reason for that is because we're picking up more satellites than just 3. And so the more satellites you get, the better honing in it can get. And this is also why whenever you go into a room and you go into a house or something like that, you might lose a little GPS signal. It's because it's a satellite broadcasting a signal that is being picked up by a receiver in some phone or some car or some watch or some whatever and saying, here, I'm interpreting this information. Here's all the things of how, where, it translating all of that information. Now, here's the thing. The signal from those satellites is happening all the time. In fact, right now, running through us is the signal from those satellites. In fact, there's a lot of those radio waves that are running through us right now, but we're not tuned into them. We're not interpreting them, and so it's not helpful or harmful, for that matter, to have all these things. But a GPS unit won't work unless it has something within it to capture the right signal and interpret it. Okay, this is extremely important because GPS won't work based on the mere fact of knowledge that a signal is coming through. It has to use that signal. So let me get back then to our lives. I mentioned whenever I started this series that how awesome it would be if we had a spiritual GPS. You know, if you come up to the fork in the road of life, you're just wondering, which way do I need to go? You could pull out the little device. You could ask it, hey, where do I need to go? And it'll point you in the right direction. And just wouldn't that be awesome to not just have it for our cars, but have it for our spiritual life? And I mentioned, I think there is that, but I don't believe it's what most people may call it. You see, I've heard a preacher or two say that our spiritual GPS is the Bible. And they've even called it God's instruction manual for our life. And that's good in some understanding, but it's nice, except that I think the navigating of this world needs something more than the instruction manual. You see, if I pull out the GPS instruction manual and I read it cover to cover, it won't help me navigate where I'm at, because there's something that is still needed. Now, let me say this. I am in no way, shape, or form saying that we don't need the Bible. In fact, the Bible is our way of knowing how to use and interpret the signals that God is giving us. We need to have that, but I think there's something so much more. Because He didn't just give us the Bible and said, you know what, just follow this. Here's the path. You follow this, all will be well. You won't ever have any questions about it. You'll know exactly where to turn it every direction. Just follow what's in the book. There's something more, because He didn't just give us a path to follow. He gave us a person. Colossians 1:27 puts it this way. For God wanted them to know the riches and the glory of Christ is for all Gentiles too. And this is the secret. This is the mystery. Christ lives in you. This gives assurance for sharing His glory. I love that verse. The focus of it that I want you to hone in on, it says, Christ lives in you. This changes everything, because Christ doesn't say, I have some way for you to follow. You follow in my footsteps and you'll be okay. You do what I do and you'll be okay. There is part of that that we need to be following. But what Christ says is, I am the way, I am the truth, I'm the life, and guess what? I'm in you. And this changes everything. If Christ is in us, this is better than just, here, read this instruction manual. This is giving us the ability to interpret what the instruction manual wants from us and how to use that instruction manual and apply it to all of my life. I can't do that without help. I got to have something in me. Just like the GPS needs something to interpret the signal, I need something in me to interpret what is being said. Colossians isn't the only scripture that points to this. 2 Corinthians 13:5, do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Romans 8:10, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. Again, there's this idea that the way leads to life. Over and over again, Scripture keeps on saying that that is what the way is about. There's a way that leads to death, but the way leads to life. One of my favorite scriptures, though, puts it this way. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. What Galatians is saying is that I am no longer in control. I have given control over to a new pilot in my life, someone who is navigating the course through this life with me in mind, for me, and it is Christ living in me. Do you see what's going on here? This changes everything. You see, all other religions point to a way to follow. You follow this person, this path of enlightenment, you do what they did, and you will reach some goal of nirvana or happy existence or non-existence. You'll follow and lead into that path. And they always say to follow what they did. Christianity is the only one that says, here's not only a way, but we're going to download the way into you. I'm going to put the way in your heart, and it's going to change everything. See, all other religions are focused on changing our outside behavior and actions. This is why they give an instruction manual to follow to change all of your outside actions and behaviors. And at a level, that is good, and we need to be changing some actions and behaviors of Christians. We need to be working on that. But how Christ wants that to work is not by just reading and then fixing things on the outside, because that is literally only surface deep. Christ says he wants to live and dwell in us and change us from the inside out. Will that affect our actions and behaviors? You betcha. But it's going to do it from a deep-seated heart, not just simply because, well, I'm supposed to do it this way. The difference is Christ in us. Christ, the way, the truth, the life, giving us the ability to navigate this life. This life into real life. That's what Christ came for. That's what he said in John 10:10. He says, I have come to give life and life to the full. It's what we want. Every one of us wants a good, rich, full life. And Jesus is saying, I'm the way to that. I'm the way to a rich, full, meaningful life. Let me in, and I will navigate you through it to the final destination. I will navigate. Christ in us changes everything. Because this is Christ we're talking about. John 1:1 says that Jesus is the light of the world. John 1 says that. John 6 says he's the bread of life. Hebrews 12 says he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. I also like how Colossians 1:17 puts it. It says he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I want you to just marinate on that passage for a second. This is a beautiful little thought here. Christ is before all things, but in him, all things hold together. Have you ever felt like your life, like your world is in shambles? Like all the walls are just crashing in on you, nothing makes sense, nothing goes your way, everything is just falling apart, nothing's being held together. That passage is saying, no, Christ holds all things together. You may try to hold all things together on your own initiative, on your own ambitions, and say, I'm doing all this, I'm doing everything I can to hold the pieces of my life together. And I'll tell you, it's not going to work. Because the only thing that can hold your life together and make sense of your life and move you in the right direction is Christ. And he wants to be in you to do that as efficiently and as awesome as only Christ can. That's the beauty, I think, of what Jesus is saying whenever he says, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What he's saying is that you can't make sense of this life without the one who holds it all together in your life. It's just not going to work. All other options, all other roads are going to be dead ends. They're not going to work unless you have the one that holds all things together in you. Christ in us. He holds all things together. I want you so bad to hold on to this. I want this to be a constant reminder that, for one, you have access to not just some material for good reading that leads to a good life. No, you have access to the way, the truth, the life in you. And that way holds all things together. I want you to get that so much that I have something for you as you leave. Just a small reminder. What I have is a little bracelet. You may not wear bracelets, and that's completely fine. You don't have to take one. But for those of you that want one, this bracelet on one side says, Christ in us. I need to clarify because of a quick question for at least some of our Chinese brothers. That does not say Christ in the U.S. That is Christ everywhere. But it was already questioned about that. Thank you. But Christ in us. Just reminding, okay? This is supposed to remind you that what you have in you is awesome, it's beautiful, and it is completely necessary to navigate this life. Christ in you. On the other side, it says Colossians 1:17. This is the passage of Scripture that says He holds all things together. And it's just convenient that it's on a little rubber band to hold all things together. But the idea behind this is I want you to remember, when your life feels like you've lost direction, when your life feels like you have no clue where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to turn to, when you're at the crossroads of your life, I want you to remember that you have something in you that is the way, the truth, the life. And all you have to do is tap into that, use Christ, follow Him where He is leading through His Word and His will. Follow that because He holds everything together, including our lives. Because when your life feels like it's in shambles, only He can hold it together. So I want you to be reminded of that. So as you leave this morning, I've got some helpers that have little baskets. Feel free to take one. Take one as a reminder. Take one of these bracelets as a reminder. Whenever you come to a place, you need a little help. You have it within you. Those of us who follow Christ have Christ in us. And sometimes we forget what that means. Sometimes we forget what that looks like. And that's the reason I think we need a reminder. We're on, all of us are on a journey. Anyone in this world talks about it that way, that I'm going from point A to point B. I'm trying to go somewhere. All of us are on a journey. Not everyone's going to end up in the right place or the best place. However you want to categorize it, they're not going to end in the best place because there are going to be some that are with the Father and some that are not. And I can't imagine what kind of hell it is to not have God around. I want everyone to know the way, to know the truth, and to know the life. Christ can help by being in us, showing us the way. So this morning, if you have been lost, if you have feel like you don't know where you're going to go, what it's going to look like, how you're going to get there, we want to talk to you about the way. We want to talk to you about what it means to follow Christ and to have Christ in you. If you need help with that, the elders and ministers will surround this auditorium. We would love to study more with you and talk to you about the giving your life to Christ through the waters of baptism and what that means. If you've already given your life to Christ, I want you to know that you have a beautiful gift within you. God Himself resides within you, wanting to help you along this path. So if you're struggling right now with where to go, we want to pray with you. We want to pray that God reveals within you the path you should take, the one and only path, the way. So this morning, if you need any help, if you need some encouragement, if you need anything, we are here for you. Would you let it be known? Would you come as we stand and as we sing? Sweetheart, the promise.